Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com. Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Ladies and gentlemen, we ask you now to count down from 10, silently if you don't mind, and when you get to 1, you'll hear one of the greatest voices on this or any other planet. 3, 2, 1, Eric Metaxas!
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the show. Chris, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. It's always great to be here.
Can I tell you what I'm excited about?
Sure. Is it Easter egg hunting?
Sort of. How do I put this? I've been spending a lot of time in Danbury, Connecticut with my mom.
Yes.
And part of what we're doing is, you know, kind of cleaning out the house because my dad, basically, I think he would be called a hoarder.
Mm.
Not actually at the level of hoarder, but close enough.
So there,
if you knew him.
Yeah, there are definitely degrees of hoarding. I have a very close loved one. I won't mention who. Not my wife, but people in my family, older people. And there are levels to it.
There are levels to it. So my dad, because he grew up during the war in Mavrata, the village in Kefalonia, if you read my book, Fish Out of Water, you'll read all about this. But because of that, any time – and this is not abnormal, right? But any time – you know, there'd be a piece of rope or a piece of wood or anything.
Right.
He'd be like, well, you know, throw that away. We can use that. Right. And then if you live in a house, you can put it someplace.
Yeah.
And after 50 years, there's not a lot of place left.
Yeah.
And now most of it, we have to go through it.
Yeah.
So while you're going through it, there's like mixed emotions of rage at why did my father keep all this stuff? So now we have to go through it. And throw it out.
Yes.
And sadness that I miss my father who saved all this junk.
Right, right.
And it's just unbelievable. But what I'm excited about, at the end of this segment, I'm going to tell you what I'm not joking. What I'm really excited about. It's happening tomorrow. I'm so excited. I can't wait to tell you. But I'm going to, before that, we got a bunch of other things we want to talk about. First of all, I want to talk about our guests today.
Right.
We have guests on the show, folks. Guests.
It's true.
Number one, in hour one, Congresswoman Lauren Boebert. She's become a friend. She is extraordinary. She, what she has done, she had this big vaping scandal that happened in Denver. A couple of months ago. I don't know if I'm going to bring that up with her or not. I joked with her. I did a public event with her around Letter to the American Church when I was in Colorado last week with Suzanne. And before I spoke, I said, I want to be very clear to the audience. I want no vaping in this. Just this very, I want to be very clear. There's no vaping. You know, whatever. But she can't joke about it because people are like, no, this is not funny. But anyway, the point is, maybe I'll ask her about it. But she is a firebrand. She really is. You know, you can tell how good somebody is by how hated they are, whether you're talking about Matt Gaetz or Donald Trump or whatever. It's so interesting because they dared to go where other people aren't going to go. So I have to say I'm excited to talk to Congresswoman Lauren Boebert. And in hour two today, we have our other crazy guest, Doug Giles. Doug Giles is – he talks – like a character, like you invent a character.
Right.
He's like the hippy-dippy weatherman from George Carlin would have the hippy-dippy weatherman. But he makes up words and stuff. He's very colorful and funny and amazing and brave. And he's written a book called Lionhearted about, you know, it's kind of like for guys. It's like how not to be a wuss, you know, if I have to sum it up. But he's so entertaining. So we have him in hour two. So Congresswoman Lauren Boebert – And then Pastor Firebrand Doug Giles.
Yeah, he got some pushback because, and he goes into a little bit, I guess someone watching the show didn't like the fact that he had a stuffed lion behind him.
Oh, yeah, he kills animals.
Yeah.
They don't kill him. He kills them.
Apparently, and he mentions that lions actually aren't endangered. So,
well, this is the link between Doug Giles and Lauren Boebert.
Right.
Lauren Boebert, when we were with her the other day, she was talking. This is how insane the world is. Wolves used to be endangered.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
They set them free in Yellowstone.
Right.
They have now eaten up every one of the other animals. This is not a joke. There's almost no wildlife except wolves in Yellowstone. So she's trying to get a bill passed because their ranchers are complaining they're killing the maybe I'll talk to her about this. Let's see. But they're killing all the livestock, whatever. And you can't kill the wolf because they're endangered. And she says they're no longer endangered. They've taken over.
Yeah. Is it true they ate Yogi the bear?
You know what? They mauled Yogi.
Oh, but he made it out alive.
And they chased Smokey, but Smokey got into the cabin and he blocked the door. But okay, so I'm going to tell you at the end of this thing what I'm excited about.
Okay.
Okay, but before that,
I'm already my mind's going because I can imagine there's some treasure in the
It's related
stuff.
To the hoarding. It's related to the
okay.
We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
We might have to do a second segment in front of Doug Giles. But here's the thing. I want to mention to people, this is the most important thing. We're doing a fundraiser for the Alliance Defending Freedom. Most people who listen to this program know that they have to give something, and they haven't done it yet. So I'm just saying, could today be the day that you go to MetaxasTalk.com and give something? It's the right thing to do if you care about America. I mean, look, a lot of people don't care about America. But if you care about America... if you care about our liberties, I'm telling you, you need to do something because the Alliance Defending Freedom goes to bat big time for our liberties.
I also think a lot of people don't understand that they need to be concerned about what's happening in America. Like, people don't know what's going on with some of these lawsuits and the implications that they have if they're lost.
And if you did know,
you
for sure would give something to Alliance Defending Freedom. I'm not kidding. Like, it's MetaxasTalk.com. I'm going to give the phone number. But we are looking for every kind of gift because they're such heroes. But I have to say, it does dismay me a little bit that people think, well, somebody else will do it. I think that's how we got into this mess, is you think somebody else – if every one of us would do a little bit, we would not be where we are. And the Alliance Defending Freedom is – look, they're heroes. I don't know what to tell you. They're heroes. They're fighting for us. I'll give you a phone number, 855-385-0596, 855-385-0596. It's insane. All right, in the news, is it Letitia James? Anyway, this prosecutor in New York City is trying to get Donald Trump to pay like $400 million.
Yeah.
And if he can't pay that in cash, they're going to like try to seize Trump Tower.
Mm-hmm.
This is what communists do, ladies and gentlemen. No person with a brain would ever do business in New York again after this. This is the destruction of America by leftist Marxist maniacs. They're insane. They hate America. And this is communism. You seize people's property. You don't like them. You find a crime and then you seize their property. This is what Castro did in Cuba when he took over. Chris Himes.
Yeah, no, my family had a large coffee business. They had, 10, 11, 12 farms, and Fidel would fly over and have lunch with my grandmother. She would make him lunch, and then one day his troops were kind of trashing and the house and looking for some things, money, and she was like, "What's happening?" And he said, "I'm so sorry, Noelia, but we're going to have to take your farm." And then she said, "Oh, okay. I'm going to go to a dentist appointment in Miami next week." And then she never came back.
And I'm never going to come back to this wicked hellhole, which is still a wicked hellhole because communism is evil. And that's what we have now, thanks to those who hate Donald Trump. So they're using hatred for him as an excuse basically to make us a communist dictatorship. Not that there's anything wrong with that because Jesus said we shouldn't judge, right?
You got to spread the misery around.
Yeah. So I just want to be clear that that's evil. Maybe I'll talk to Lauren Boebert about that. Okay, I have only a few moments to tell you what I'm excited about. besides Letter to the American Church, we sold – somebody bought 100 DVDs yesterday. Go to lettertothemericanchurch.com, lettertothemericanchurch.com, and you can get DVDs and anything else you want, lettertothemericanchurch.com. So what am I excited about? Not kidding. Tomorrow, a dumpster is arriving in my parents' driveway. I'm out of my mind excited because we have so much stuff. You can't possibly throw it out in the trash. There's nowhere to go. So I ordered a dumpster, and it's going to arrive tomorrow. I'm going to be there to make sure they put it, you know, where we can still get the cars around it. And then I'm going to get to start actually throwing stuff out that we couldn't throw out. So I don't know why, but I am ridiculously excited about this.
It's exciting. It's a purging. It's sort of a clearing.
I mean, I want to talk about this more because I'm so excited, but we're going to talk to Lauren Boebert and to Doug Giles. Be right back. How do you feel? Well, I feel great. And one of the reasons I believe I feel better is because I take Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule. They've got an amazing story of how this product was developed by Dr. Douglas Howard. It's right there on their website. Balance of Nature receives over 1,000 success stories every single month. They have hundreds of thousands of customers who've purchased billions of capsules of their fruits and veggies over the past 20 years. You should check it out on their website. Their products are gluten-free and non-GMO, and they contain no added sugars or synthetics. I think if you're looking for something to make you feel better naturally, you should definitely give Balance of Nature a try. In fact, order today. Whether you order online or call them direct, you must use the promo code ERIC to get the special offer of 35% off. Call them at 800-246-8751. And use discount code ERIC or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code ERIC to get 35% off. 35% off. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. You're going to love this free new tool they've added, legacypminvestments.com, legacypminvestments.com. Check it out.
Once there was a way.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hey there, folks. Welcome back. As promised, our friend Doug Giles is in the house. Doug Giles, my friend, welcome.
Eric, how you doing, big dog?
I always, you crack me up. And that's like my highest compliment. You totally crack me up. I'm looking at you. A lot of people don't watch these videos. They just listen on the radio or on podcasts, and they are missing gold. Right behind you is a stuffed lion. And I don't mean a plush toy. I mean a stuffed lion that you killed and other animals and all kinds of cool stuff. In my background, is so naked that there's just nothing. There's just blue. And normally there's something behind me. But you make up for both of us. We've talked about this before. You're a hunter. You hunted those animals. I'm amazed. You've got an awesome background, and it's not virtual. It's real.
Yeah, it's been a crazy life, man. And by the way, I don't know if my show that we did a month ago replayed on Salem, but I got an interesting email last Sunday morning. So after church, after preaching, boom, open up the email account. And Eric, they're referencing you talking about and us talking about the lion in the background and me hunting it. And they attached a bunch of F-bombs to the email, and they threatened to shoot me from 100 yards. And so that I'm supposed to watch my back forever, Eric, for hunting a non-endangered species like a lion. So.
Well, a lot of angry people listen to this program. Most of the people who listen to this program are wonderful people and
Amen.
will not threaten your life. But is it possible that a lion typed that email, or is it just somebody who's a friend of the lion?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Nowadays, you get people who think that, once a lion gets a human name attached to it, like Cecil, all of a sudden he becomes human-like, But I've been to Africa 23 times. I've been around a lot of these big cats, and they're just glorious to be in the presence of. And yeah, they don't speak English, and they don't play with warthogs, and they put wildebeest down in a brutal fashion. So Mother Nature, she can be a you-know-what, and that's the nature that I know.
A
And
mother.
yeah, Mother Nature can be a
A mother.
yeah.
All right. Well, listen, people can have different views on hunting. I'm not a hunter, but obviously somebody emailing you F-bombs and death threats, not positive, not whoever did that, not a good look for you, beautiful young people. No, it's not a good look for you. Let's talk about something more positive. Let's talk about Jesus. Jesus was the lion, is the lion of the tribe of Judah. You wrote an article. Where can people find your article? Because I want people to read it, and I'm going to post it on Twitter.
Yeah, go to DougGiles.org, and that's my link tree to all things Doug related. And the title of the article is "Dear Christian, Is Your Jesus Too Small and Wimpy?"
And the answer in many cases is yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. People, I've been talking about this a lot, that people don't understand that being a warrior, fighting for truth, is a Christian value. A lot of times people have this attitude that no, Christians are supposed to lie down, and they only understand the turn the other cheek. Of course, there's a time to turn the other cheek, but there's a time to fight, and you have to have discernment. And a lot of people don't have discernment. And I find that interesting that people like to make a doctrine, and they don't get the bigger picture that the scripture is telling us that, on the one hand, we're supposed to turn the other cheek, but we're supposed to understand what does that mean? What is the context? If somebody is knocking down your door, to kill you and rape your family, you're not supposed to say, well, I'm just going to let you do that. And I guess, just yesterday I was on Newsmax, talking about, Eric Bolling had me on, and he was saying that, he was asking me, am I less of a Christian, because I believe that we should send people back to the countries where they came from if they're here illegally? Does that make me less of a Christian? And I had to explain to him, it's what we're touching on here, that people really don't understand what it means to be a Christian. They have this very, you'd call it namby-pamby view. They have this very emotional, sloppy view of what it means to be a Christian. And I said, if the Lord commands us to love our neighbor, how do I love my neighbor? Well, I love my neighbor by protecting that neighbor from illegals coming in and taking their jobs, taking their lives. Like people only want to apply the neighbor to, oh, the neighbor who came here from Haiti. And I guess my point is that people can be very simplistic and sloppy, and they're not really looking at the bigger picture. And they have this cliched view of Jesus, as you describe in your article, which people can find at DougGiles.org.
Yeah, we've got a one-dimensional Christ going around in evangelicalism, and the dimension that's been pushed forward, Eric, for I think, gosh, last 40, 50, 60 years, is that Jesus is just a nice bearded woman, or he's just,
I'm
he's
sorry.
over, or he's over ebullient. He's just this cool kind of Jimmy Fallon type guy, or he's some unisexual, gluten-free
He's
Gucci
gushing over
pop.
Miley Cyrus. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's the
Or
image.
we have the other Jesus, the mystic Rasputin-like Christ. And what I try to do, man, is to divorce myself from what, especially what's hip and popular, and evangelicalism because it's oh so sassy and effeminate nowadays. And I try to drench myself in the Christ that Paul, Peter, and John saw, especially John, like in the book of Revelation. Man, when you marinate in Revelation 19, 11 through 16, and you see Christ sitting on a white horse, his name is called Faithful and True, and he's going forth judging, waging war, shattering enemy nations, you know, like with a rod of iron, you know, trampling out the fierce wrath of God against his enemies. And he's got a tattoo on his thigh that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the kind of Christ that I have in my mind. That's the kind of Christ that Paul had in his heart. That's why you had to cut their heads off, because you're not going to stop them, because they're indomitable, because their revelation of who Christ is, it's huge, it's big, it's fearless. It ain't afraid of Herod. It's not afraid of the Sanhedrin. It's not afraid of apostate Israel, because he's got the King of Kings and Lord of Lords high and lifted up in his mind, in his soul, in his spirit. And that's what made those guys indomitable. And that's why Paul could say, you know, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Not persecution, not a devil, not sickness, not death. We overwhelmingly conquer through him. But if you have a wee little Jesus, and you have, you know, the bearded lady nice Jesus, and you have the Jimmy Fallon, you know, Jesus, then you're going to get steamrolled. You're not going to fight. You're not going to stand up. You're not going to go into weird parts of the world and evangelize, because you could get hurt or something bad could happen to you, or the Antichrist could show up on the scene and destroy all your works. Paul and them didn't care about the Antichrist, Antipasta, Anti-M, Antifreeze. They could all go pound sand, because he had a big Christ in his heart. And the Antichrist, well, he was wee little, and he was on the run from the rider on the white horse.
You know something? This reminds me, years ago, I made the mistake of watching The Exorcist. It had been reissued. This is like 20 years ago. It had been reissued, some new version of it, you know, with some restored scenes or whatever. And I went to see it. And I say to everybody, don't see the film. If you can help it, you'll regret it. Believe me, it's horrifying. But the point is, theologically, in that film, it portrays good winning out by a whisker. It makes evil seem so powerful. And that's basically a false message. The message should be, hey, Christian, if you believe in the God of the Bible, demons should be scared of you. If you walk in the authority that Jesus has died for you to have, demons flee at his name. And I think that we live in a culture, just as you're putting it, it doesn't understand the majesty, the power of the God who created the universe out of nothing. The idea that, as you said, Jesus is some bearded lady, it's really a failure of imagination, but it's more than a failure of imagination. It's a failure of understanding reality.
Yeah, I think it's sinful. I think it's demonic. I think it's purposeful. So if Satan can, you know, weave a thought, you know, so thoroughly, like he's done in evangelicalism, that, you know, Jesus one day will be like, you know, John saw in Revelation 19, but John saw it, Eric, in the first century. And so if Satan can get people tracking to where he's just lowly, he's just meek and mild, and we define lowly, meek, and mild by, you know, 21st century Webster's dictionary instead of first century, what do these words really mean? Then all of a sudden we've got this neutered Jesus. We've got this, you know, nicer than Christ. And when you really look and you do, people could just take a cursory glance, just take a tour through the book of Matthew and show me where Jesus, again, is this effeminate, emasculated tinkerpot.
Hang on, folks. We'll be right back with Doug Giles. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Thankfully, Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls. And in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. Think about it. They need your help. With your best gift, You courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. Call 855-385-0596 right now or go to MetaxasTalk.com. Click on the ADF banner, MetaxasTalk.com. With your help, I've pledged to raise $35,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to MetaxasTalk.com or call 855-385-0596 to make your best gift now. Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. For years, I've told you about Nutramedics, a professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993. Nutramedics offers a variety of health bundles. Whether you want to support your immune system, improve your sleep, promote joint comfort, or detoxification support, Nutramedics has a health bundle right for you. The best part about Nutramedics, every year they donate a minimum of 50% of their profits to Christian charities and missions. That's right, 50% of their profits. Nutramedics has a goal of surpassing $100 million in giving by 2030. Many of you take supplements already. Switch to Nutramedics. It's the highest quality, and they donate 50% of their profits. Get 15% off by using the code ERIC during checkout. Go to Nutramedics.com and search health bundles. Support your health while helping others in need. Go to Nutramedics. That's NutraMedics.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Again, Nutramedics, NutraMedics.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Welcome back. We're talking to Doug Giles. It's G-I-L-E-S, DougGiles.org. He's holding up a book called Lionhearted. Is that your newest book, Lionhearted?
Yeah, that's it. Lionhearted, Making Young Christian Males Rowdy Biblical Men. I got a new one coming up, Eric, in April Fool's Day, by the way. And it's called I Talk Back to Satan. And it's 30 proclamations, 30 prayers that Christians can just declare the word of God. I take the word of God and paraphrase it regarding the wealth and the walk and the warfare of the believer. And man, I'm telling you, Eric, I'll send you one, obviously. But when you start making these proclamations and declarations of what the word of God says, instead of what frickin' CNN or Fox News or whatever fear monger is spewing out, mass delusional psychosis, when you declare the word of God against the circumstances, woo, Eric, it'll light wet wood. And you will. We do this in our church. We proclaim the word of God. We proclaim imprecatory psalms against the enemy and against all those who are anti-theistic, implacable, impenitent, ain't gonna change, spot welded to the devil. So we declare, boom, what God says to the forces of hell, instead of, again, you know, what MSNBC or, you know, the fear brokers in the quote unquote news department say.
Well, now, if people want to find your church, or if they're like in the Dallas area or wherever you are, is that something you give out publicly?
Yeah, I'm not afraid, you know.
Yeah, I would be afraid to come to your church if I was looking for trouble, because I think I would get trouble if I was looking for trouble at your church. So where are you?
We're south of Austin in a wee little town called Wimberley. And so they can find all that at DougGiles.org. That's G-I-L-E-S.org.
DougGiles.org. So this image that we have in the culture of Jesus as like Mr. Nice Guy, again, I said I was on Eric Bolling's show on Newsmax, and he was asking me, you know, that you hear it that, oh, you're not a Christian if you don't believe in welcoming the stranger. And I think to myself, that's complete nonsense. You're taking the scripture out of context. The idea that we're supposed to kind of like lie down and let, I just thought to myself, if you love your neighbor, I mean, if I love my neighbor down the street, if I love my neighbor in the inner city, I have to care about who's coming into this country, because their lives can be ruined on any level if the wrong people come into this country. And there are certain people that don't want to think about that. They just want to think about, well, what about the person coming into the country? It's like, well, you got to think about both. And there are people coming into this country, they're being sex trafficked. I mean, I read the other day, and I can't even take this in. My head explodes. 85,000 children who have come into this country are missing. Yeah. Many of them are being sex trafficked. Can we think about anything more satanic than raping children? And people want to talk to me about being a Christian. If you don't care about that, about gangs, some of the most bloodthirsty, violent thugs in the world, gangs trafficking children into this nation. You don't care about that? I want to know what kind of Christian you are. But again, we're being gassed by getting one narrative.
Yeah, I think it's funny because the left, who routinely trashes the word of God, talk crap about Jesus, you know, boo God out of the DNC in 2012. All of a sudden, Eric, when it comes to immigration, oh, they're the experts telling us, you know, poor little Christians that we're not acting Christ-like. Hey, listen, God established law enforcement, and the laws that we have for legal immigration on the books here in the United States of America, they're good. They're biblical. And law enforcement is supposed to uphold that law, and Christians are supposed to come under law enforcement when it's doing that which is good and support it. But what we see on the border is pure lawlessness. It's what I find funny is, like, during the COVID scandemic, they're like, you know, you've got to obey all the laws, even though they're not laws. They're man-made mandates that are being superimposed to, for whatever reason, these Marxists want to crush our nation and see who obeys. And then all of a sudden, now, when we've got this insane invasion on our southern border, which I hear it's more around 22 million, with all those atrocities that you're talking about occurring, now all of a sudden we're supposed to break the law, that it's okay to be lawless. And so the Christian, you know, we're being told, it's like, yeah, you got to love your neighbor, you got to love the stranger. Yeah, Jesus loved neighbors and strangers, but he turned them into Christians. He didn't say, hey, drug dealer, yeah, you got the fentanyl in the duffel bag? Come on in. He didn't say, hey, rapist, cartel, MS-13 gangbangers. There's no Jesus on that's ever been on this terra firma, or that's sitting at the right hand of the Father, that would green light that kind of lawless BS on our southern border at all. And again, people can just do a little glance through the book of Matthew and see that Christ was not into lawlessness. He wasn't a wuss. He wasn't somebody who didn't have an opinion. When he showed mercy, ooh, man, he would show mercy where religious people wouldn't show mercy. He would show love to people that even his disciples thought were despicable. So you just can't pigeonhole Christ into being, you know, just this, you know, soft-spoken, you know, feminine hygiene actor. And you can't make him just, you know, this Torquemada Joe, which I kind of glam onto all the time. He's multifaceted, he's multi-dimensional. And like Solomon said, hey, man, when we're walking this third rock from the sun, there's a time for everything. And there's a time to extend grace and mercy. And there's a time to open up a 64-ounce can of you-know-what on the powers of darkness. And I think, again, Eric, that we've got such an imbalance of how we see Jesus compared to how John saw Christ in the book of Revelation.
I want to continue this conversation. I want to be very clear. You're not allowed to say whoop ass on this show. We'll be right back. As you know, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They're the best sheets you'll ever sleep on. The best night's sleep just got even better. For a limited time, you'll get a queen size set for $59.98, king size just $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the MyPillow employees continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times and want to thank you by giving you the best specials on all their MyPillow products. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-978-3057. Use promo code ERIC. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size $59.98, king size $69.98. You'll also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-978-3057 or go to MyPillow.com, promo code ERIC. Folks, go to MyPillow.com. And use the promo code ERIC. Great bargains. MyPillow.com. Promo code ERIC.
You sheltered me from harm.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Welcome back. We're talking to Doug Giles, G-I-L-E-S, and we're talking about Jesus. All right, Doug Giles, what else?
So that's my coffee mug that we have at my store over at DougGiles.org. It says, WWJW, who would Jesus whip?
Who would Jesus whoop? And I got to tell you, it is an amazing thing that we forget that God is a warrior. God is a judge. These are the kinds of things that a lot of people forget. And it is vital that we understand, yeah, he's merciful, but think about what mercy is. Mercy is when you deserve to be crushed and he doesn't, you know? And so you don't want to really bank on that because mercy is mercy. That's when God chooses to be merciful. But other times he is a just judge. And I think that when we take that lightly, it really is, it shows contempt for the God who loves us, for the God who has mercy.
Yeah, I tell you one of the glaring example. I'm doing an expository series through the book of Mark right now, and I'm in Mark chapter 13, which is Christ's prophecy that the temple in Jerusalem is going to get flattened because they, you know, radically and fundamentally rejected the Son of God. And it happened, Eric, in 70 AD. Titus came in there, and they rejected Christ. Apostate Israel crucified him. Apostate Israel persecuted the disciples, killed most of the apostles. And God said, I'm going to flatten that temple for what you did. And he enacted a covenant lawsuit against his wayward vassals, shall we say. And it was a terrifying thing. I don't know if you've ever read Josephus, The Jewish Wars. Oh, my.
I got to tell you, when I wrote my book, Is Atheism Dead? The first part's about science and faith. The second part's about archaeology. And I write about the temple. And that's when I wrote the book, Is Atheism Dead, which is a couple of years ago, I did the research. It is horrifying. What happened in 70 AD, it is one of the most horrifying things in history. Yeah. The savagery of the Romans. But what really freaked me out is Jesus said this was going to happen 40 years before it happened. When he said it, they mocked. They were offended. They thought he's insane because you look at the temple complex. It was one of the most magnificent things ever seen in the history of the world. And he said that not one stone will be left on another. I mean, if you said that when he said it, right, people would look at you like you are insane. And 40 years later, it happened precisely. I mean, it's one of the most mind-blowing things in the history of the world that Jesus said that it happened, that the temple was abolished, just as you would expect. I mean, if Jesus comes to replace the temple with we who are the temples of the Holy Spirit, and then the actual temple is destroyed by the Romans, it's just one of the most amazing things in history.
Yeah, and the thing that I, you know, derive from it as I'm studying it is God gets ticked off if you kill his son and you try to squash the gospel. And so with all the enemies that are now arrayed against the church, Eric, and they're varied and they're vast, and I get it, and they're powerful, but OMG, baby, we've got a King of Kings and Lord of Lords and a sword coming out of his mouth. And he's got this innumerable army riding with him that will do battle on our behalf. And when Christianity looked like it was going to get stomped out by apostate Israel, it looked like it wasn't going to go forward, you know, because of Roman opposition. God's like, oh, yeah, you want to bet? And then all of a sudden, boom, the temple gets flattened. Jerusalem falls and Christianity, it shoots out, you know, into the earth like nobody's business. And that's why, you know, I'm forever hopeful now, Eric. I'm forever hopeful because you mess with God's church, you mess with his bride, you blaspheme his son, man, you better run. You better find some place to duck. And I don't know how he's going to do it, Eric. I have no idea how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. He's forsworn that the meek inherit the earth, not the Marxists, not radical Islam, you know, not the leftists. He said, the meek, my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's no weapon formed against us that's going to prosper. And that God is the same God, you know, I'm telling you, man, he's going to do it. I don't have to have, you know, a chariot to swing me out of this horrid mess and take me, Eric, yonder to Beulah land. I'm not waiting for that. I'm waiting to see how God raises up some prophetic voice, how God raises up, you know, some incredible leader, and how God sends worms to eat some of these evil dictators that are never going to change. They're never going to repent, because that's the God we see in the book of Acts. And as far as I'm concerned, the scripture says in Hebrews 13, he never changes. So I know he's going to operate in his mighty power. And I would not want to be on the wrong side of the equation when God starts rolling out his wrath. So,
and oftentimes, I've said this many times, I think I'm the first to say it, I don't know, but I said that God does a lot of his best work outside the church. In other words, he doesn't need the church to do the right thing. He'll go outside the church. He'll find a Cyrus. He'll bring judgment through the pagan Romans.
Yeah, he did.
God will do what he's going to do, and we don't know how he's going to do it.
That's what I like about Martin Luther. He said that, he goes, yeah, you Christians are worthless until you can live a profane life. And the word profane in the Latin, profanus, means outside the temple. And Martin talked about, and you know everything about Martin and stuff, he talked about, listen, guys, we've got to leave these little stained glass walls, and we've got to expect the miraculous coming from all kinds of sectors of society and very, very different people. The guy wearing the druid fish hat, walking around with an Elvis costume and has a wand and a pot of smoke he's carrying around, he might not be the avenue that God moves through. But you get some, you know, OCD crazy monk who confesses his sins for 6 hours, who's scared of lightning, and he'll choose that guy to shake all of Christendom like a bowl of liposuction fat. That's for sure. And that's what I like about that's what I like about the anomalies, Eric. The anomalies, they're out there. And I think all the little slick-haired evangelists and all the pretty, you know, prosperity preachers, they could get passed by in what God's going to do, because we got an evil day approaching, and we've got to have some no-kidding pipe-hitting nut cutters coming to the forefront in the spirit realm to lead the charge. And I hope I'm a part of it. You know, if not, I'll be cheering them on. Because I'm sick as business as usual, and we've got real enemies against us, spiritual forces of wickedness, and we don't have pastors teaching people how to stand in this evil day. They're avoiding.
I want to pick up on that when we come back. Final segment, talking to Doug Giles, DougGiles.org. Tell me why.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact. What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Welcome back. We're talking to our friend Doug Giles, G-I-L-E-S. You know, Doug, it's so interesting. Your book is called Lionhearted, but it's the subtitle that I want you to read for my audience, because this kind of Christianity, unfortunately, it's pretty rare. You're one of the few voices of, you know, this kind of really biblical masculine Jesus. And the book is called Lionhearted. What is the subtitle?
Yeah, the subtitle is Making Young Christian Males, Eric, Rowdy Biblical Men.
It's so fascinating because, again, you know, when you think about the sick world in which we live, It's interesting because before you were talking, I was reminded that in the 19th century, Mark Twain was disgusted with the church because it was totally feminized. It was all about, you know, being like a prissy, you know, do everything right. And yeah. and Huck Finn and the characters that he wrote about, they were really, they were boys. They were men. They were, you know, he showed the wild side. And why is it that we're attracted to the wild side and not to the prissy, fussy side of Aunt Polly? Why is that? Why is it that the church goes down the Aunt Polly path of Christianity when, you know, any real man would say, if that's Christianity, I'm not interested?
Yeah, that's a soup question. And we're at the dessert part of the interview. I'd love to talk to you about that. It traces way back to the 12th century with the effects of Bernard of Clairvaux, and it got just worse after him. But that's a fascinating subject. But Billy Graham, just like Mark Twain, Billy Graham's like, I want nothing to do with church, because he said the same thing. It's for crazy women, children, and effeminate old men. And so Mordecai Ham shows up in North Carolina somewhere doing some kind of, you know, sawdust revival meeting. And people told him, it's like, this Mordecai Ham, he's not some little tinkerpot Christian. He's a man's man. So Billy went. He's the only person that walked up front and gave his life to the Lord. And you can still read that story at billygraham.org. He said, I didn't want anything to do with the church because it was effeminate.
It's fascinating. And here we are in America, where the whole culture has been feminized. And by the way, folks, when you have weak men, you know who suffers the most? Women. Women suffer. If you care about women and God cares about women, you don't want weak men, because weak men are the enemy of women. Strong men, God raised men to be strong to protect women from weak men and from strong men who are not aligned with God's purposes. So that this is so key.
There's a curse in Isaiah chapter 3 when, you know, Israel is finding it inconvenient to listen to the prophets. God said, I'm going to remove the warrior from your midst. I'll remove the young, strong man. I'll remove the honorable elder, and you'll have capricious lads and chicks running the show. And guess what's going to happen after that? The enemy's going to come in and trample the city, and he's going to do a humiliating strip down. And so when God starts removing, it's like, okay, church, you want to play your stupid games? You want to, you know, focus on, you know, nickels, noses, and numbers? Then I'll remove the strong men from that congregation, and I'll let, you know, capricious idiots and ungodly Jezebel start running that nest, and we'll see what happens to it. And Isaiah chapter 3, man, is terrifying what happens when God removes masculinity from, you know, his people's corporate identity. It's not a good thing at all.
Well, I see young men are turning to, you know, to real men. They're hungry, and I want to point them to you. Folks, go to DougGiles.org. I was recently at Brave Church in Denver. The pastor there, Jeff Schwarzentrobe, he's a Doug Giles kind of Christian. More and more, we're seeing people turn toward that kind of the real thing and away from a lot of these religious, dead, feminized churches. I think amazing things are happening. Doug Giles, my friend, thanks for being my guest.
Eric, thank you. Stay rowdy, big dog.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.